You're listening to Ecto Portal, a journey into the unknown with Anthony Anderson and Verna Wilson.
I hope that you are seated comfortably with the light turned down and the curtains drawn.
Once again, to another journey into the unexplored, the unexplained, the unknown. I'm Anthony Anderson, your host. Welcome to Ecto Portal. I'm here with my co-host,
Verna Wilson. And do I sound funny?
You sound a little funny. I can only imagine what's wrong with you.
Oh, well, I can imagine what's wrong with you, too.
Yeah, but I don't sound like that. So what's wrong with you?
Okay. Okay. As long as you're at it. I had a cold.
No.
For a week.
Shut up.
No, I won't shut up. I had a cold for a week, and I probably should have shut up because my voice got very hoarse the past week or so.
What did you want to get a cold for?
Well, let's see. What did I want to get a cold for? So I can drink a lot of orange juice. Is that a good excuse for you?
Great. That's awesome. But yeah. What did you do when you weren't having a cold?
Well, I went to go see some friends play at a club in Berkeley, and they played with two other groups. And
was the club haunted? Have you heard any stories?
That club? You know, it doesn't feel very haunted in there.
You don't pick up no vibes when you're in there?
I do, actually. No, I do pick up vibes when I'm in there. Yeah, I think it could be. It's in an old building. Yeah, I think it could be. There's a lot of old buildings around there. But anyway, the club, it was a very cold night. And one of the groups was apparently a very well-known group, and they were expecting a higher turnout, but there weren't very many people there. The club was almost empty.
I think people are still very slowly coming out of lockdown. So you're always going to get the ones that are going to jump out of lockdown and want to go back to life immediately. And the rest of them are sort of, there's some reservation still. You know, because you still see people, I don't know if you've been around and about, you'll see some people who are diligently wearing a mask, some people don't wear it at all.
I do see people diligently wearing a mask.
On and off, depending upon where you're at. I'm in the middle, I wear it like on a bus or on a train.
I wear it sometimes.
But outside I'm walking, I don't wear it at all. But some people, I mean, they're just, no matter where they go outside their house,
they wear a
mask is on.
Yeah.
And I read that the official lockdown or COVID period is going to be announced as ended soon, at least in San Francisco and the Bay Area. So
I heard, I think Biden already announced it's already ended.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's why a lot of places, because I noticed even the movie theaters are still empty. People don't want to go back. I think they don't want to pay the horrible prices anymore. They realize they could watch movies home cheaper on streaming services.
I love being in a theater. I don't know why, you know.
I do too, but they're expensive, and now they
want to
price.
They are expensive.
And now regular theaters want to price by where you're sitting.
Really?
They want to do, like, concert seating.
That's
which to
stupid.
Me is, like, if you're going to do that, I'm out. I'll
I like
stay
the
home.
Choice of rather I want to sit in the middle of front row or sit a little towards the back.
They'll
that's
charge
stupid.
You more if you sit in the middle. So that's,
come on.
That's on the pipeline for, like, AMC's going to start doing that. So I wasn't too thrilled about that. So that might keep even more people away. So that isn't going to bring them in. That's going to drive them out.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen because I really like going to the theater. I miss going to the theater, and I've been back to see some movies. So, but anyway, I've seen people come out for shows, so we were mildly surprised at this one because this is a club that's known to have a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I've never seen, and I haven't been there in a long time, but I've never seen it that empty.
Is it just
before.
The group, the band? Is that there wasn't a turnout, or is it? Do you think it's just general for the venue?
It's not general for the venue. I don't know what the situation was. Maybe it wasn't well promoted. I don't know.
Huh.
The people who were there did enjoy it, and the groups did what they had to do,
mm-hmm.
and there were people watching, and they enjoyed it, and that was a good thing. But for the most part, it wasn't a big turnout, and everybody was kind of mildly disappointed. So,
yeah.
And then we went to this taco place for dinner. Which has been around Berkeley for 30 years. It's supposed to be like this great Mexican food place in Berkeley.
Yeah.
And they were disappointed because the pandemic's been over now for a long time, and they were still having to go, like, you know, people ordering to go.
Yeah.
And then if you did order there, you had to sit under a tent. Of course, they had the little heater things. You had to get your own water, your own silverware, and it used to be a restaurant where people would come and serve you. And
I found it frustrating because some places I've gone to, they're so strict about COVID, so everybody has to wear a mask inside the building,
uh-huh.
and you have to keep on until you leave. Other places, they don't care. There's no restrictions whatsoever. So why do we get this hot and cold? It's like, can't the city decide as a whole? Let's let it go.
Right.
Or put it back on. But none of this, I can't go in here now because I don't have a mask because I didn't need one everywhere else. And now you
can't
go.
Yeah, I know. I've been
to
a couple places that did that too.
So
and I was surprised about that too.
What is that term? Shit or get off the pot?
Something like that. Yeah. That term, shit or get off the pot. I agree.
Yeah.
And
it's frustrating.
I was frustrated about the restaurant because apparently a restaurant that's had a reputation for a long time should be able to bounce back quicker.
You'd think so.
So, I don't know. Well, what about you?
Just seeing a lot of theater shows lately, Come From Away, which is about...
Oh, I heard about that.
Bunch of airlines during 9/11 were rerouted to Newfoundland.
Uh-huh.
Is that up in Canada? having to spend like 5-6 days there and not knowing what's happening in Manhattan. I remember when they all got rerouted. I remember when I was, because I lived downtown when it happened, I remember hearing that on the news because nobody could call in or we couldn't call out to anybody else. So nobody knew if anybody was dead or alive for at least 3 days in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who lived outside of the city were like, oh my God, they couldn't get through. But I remember when that happened. So that musical is about them rerouting to Canada, and it's the small towns all over in this area in Canada, and they had to band together as communities to help these people who are getting off the plane to live for a few days. So
sure.
It's a pretty good show.
The preview looked really good. Are you going to see the musical Pretty Woman?
Yeah, I have that next week.
That should be good, actually.
Actually, Brian Adams wrote the score for that musical. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I was looking at that and I thought, that looks like it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So other than that, just writing, doing more research for my book. That's about it. I've kept busy because of work and stuff. Other than that, I forgot to ask you, what is this week's episode about? What's the topics for this week?
Sure. I'm going to be putting two legends into one episode. One of them is about the haunted grave of Angeline Hoagland. She was a little 2-year-old girl who died during the Gold Rush era in Arizona, and a lot of people have spotted her ghosts near her grave site.
Hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of the locals talk about that. And the second one is called The Lake Forest Legend of Marion Lambert. And she was a young girl whose body was found near some railways. And not much is spoken about her, but there's an inside story about what happened to her.
Oh,
okay. So I'm going to be getting into that. And then the third one is about Ringstorff House in Mountain View. It's
Outer Bay Area.
The Outer Bay Area.
Bay Area.
Yeah, near the South Bay. Yeah, it's a museum, And it's a beautiful mansion, and you can come visit it, and it has a local legend here in the Bay Area, of course.
We should go there.
We should go there. I've been meaning to go there. And it's known to be haunted, and I'm going to go into the stories about what people have spotted as far as the house being haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sounds good. So let's first go to the paranormal news.
Yeah, let's get there.
And welcome back to the paranormal news. I have an article first up.
Okay.
It's about Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Cassandra Peterson. Everybody knows Elvira.
Of course.
Well, apparently, she has been living in an L.A. mansion for years, and she sold it to Brad Pitt and told him it was extremely haunted, and he loved that fact. So she's, of course, she sold it to him in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And said it was haunted, but instead of being afraid, she says he was very excited about it. His immediate fascination with the house suddenly sparked when she told him it was haunted.
Uh-huh.
He bought it from her for $1.7 million and just sold it after nearly 30 years for about $40 million. Cassandra said we're kind of warning him that a lot of weird things have been going on in the house since they moved in. He said he's very excited. He thought it was really cool. She says she's seen people walking around upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Real people just walking. One time a ghost was sitting downstairs in front of the fireplace. One time one walked into her bedroom and back out again. She said once we saw a person floating around at the bottom of the pool. Things like that. She says it sounds kind of nutty. And she says, I know it's what you would expect from me, right? But she says, I don't have hallucinations, I wasn't high, and I can't explain those things.
You know, there's a lot of old mansions in Hollywood. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. She said the spooky event started right after she and her ex-husband, musician Mark Pearson, moved in to the 29-room mansion. She's now been in a 21-year relationship with Teresa Weirson. They even had a priest come in and do an exorcism.
Oh, okay.
She said, I had all kinds of things because it was really getting to a point like, I don't know if I can continue to live here, she said. So they were telling Brad all about that and he loved it. And there are not many buyers who will use that as a selling point. Nowadays, that may not be true. But he's like, oh, that's awesome. I love it. And he appreciated the house a lot. They got together like three times before he bought the house. And that noting that she was 9 months pregnant with her now 28-year-old when Pitt purchased the house. She said he was wonderful, she met his mom and dad.
I heard he was a nice person.
Yeah. She said he's just the perfect person to buy it because he's so interested in the architecture, and this house is just a really exquisite house. Pitt loved the living room, dining room, solid mahogany wall panels, copper ceilings. It was a stunning house. But the house was in rough shape when Peterson bought it and had been even considered a teardown by developers. But Pitt did tons and tons of work on it. After selling to the movie star, she bought the property next door and became his neighbor for many years.
Huh.
So she witnessed the home's transformation, including lifting the home off its foundation to install a new base. Now, after 3 decades of ownership and at renovations and expansions, Brad Pitt sold the sprawling estate to in the neighborhood of Los Feliz. He was trying to unload the 1.9-acre property off the market for $40 million in January. The house is where, of course, he and ex-wife Angelina Jolie raised their 6 kids. And they split, of course, in 2016. So it shows you that even celebrities can be into the paranormal or kind of excited to buy a haunted house.
Of course they can. You know, she would be a cool person to have on the show since she's so into it. But if I were her, I would have done some research on the history of the house and who lived there before.
Yeah,
because it's such an old house.
In Hollywood, I would imagine, because they used to have specific architects build their houses.
They did.
Like, so it couldn't have had that many owners, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But you never know. This house may be built. Someone may have lived in it 5 years. Something happened. they sold it. It sold it to several people before it got to someone else. So we don't know. I don't know. I'd be curious to see. Maybe we can try and get her to be on the show.
I would love to get her to be on the show.
And we could talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe do a little research of our own and then find out what she's got and we can talk about it.
Yeah, I think she would be a good one, but let's try.
All right.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
Well, what I have here is this man who found a gravestone under his house, and this happened in New Orleans. And it doesn't surprise me about New Orleans,
yeah,
very old city.
Very.
So this man discovered a gravestone under his house when he was clearing out some rubble. He explained that he started carrying out some repairs and renovation work, and he noticed that there was a buildup, a buildup under its foundations. So when he was trying to, this happened in Holy Cross, New Orleans, and when he was trying to build up the house and get all this, the rubble out,
mm-hmm.
he said that it was built in the 1890s, and so it probably wasn't built over, so someone had to move there from before. And so he was surprised when he went ahead and uncovered all the rubble, and then he found a graveyard there. A gravestone, excuse me.
I was going to say, wow.
Well, there could be a graveyard under there, but no, a gravestone. And he said that he is actually going to keep it there because he doesn't want any gris put on him.
So this was in his basement?
This was in his basement, oh, okay. And he's, he was worried about a gris, on him. A gris, in case anybody doesn't know what that is, it means a curse put on you or a curse following you.
So in his case, disturbing the dead or the resting dead in peace, if you disturb it.
Right. And one person asked him, are you sure your house isn't sitting on top of a mass burial site for paupers? And he said, you may want to be careful if you dig a pool. I've seen a movie about that.
Yeah, Poltergeist.
You know, and also one of the other things that he found in the article in the house was that he found a bookshelf blocking the secret door in the basement. So he won't dare go inside the basement because he found the bookshelf blocking.
Well, I would totally go in the basement.
I
would
know.
Go through that door just to find out
he's,
what's in
he's
my
scared
basement.
To remove the bookshelf because he's afraid something's there.
Looks like the bookshelf might have fallen though, rather than.
Yeah, he thinks the owners blocked it. And he said that he thought it would be better to just leave it there. And he said that his dogs won't go near the door, so he's not going to go near it either.
Well, it is New Orleans. They're a little more superstitious about a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if it's, and this makes more sense to me, if they're poor enough back in the 1890s, if great-grandma died,
mm-hmm.
and you really didn't have the money to go put her in the local, Ward 1 cemeteries or whatever they have. It's been known you bury family members in your yard, but in the basement's a little weird, I have to admit.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are buried in the backyard, grandma, grandpa,
mm-hmm.
great-grandma, grandpa.
People used to do that, especially estates.
Home
they used to have their own little grave, their own little grave site for their family members.
And that's what become a family graveyard in time, but
mm-hmm.
to be buried in the basement, there's a story.
Yeah, that's
there.
A weird one. Yeah.
There's a story there. Obviously, if she had a gravestone, it wasn't like a murder, because you wouldn't mark a murdered grave. You would, if you buried someone, if you murdered them, you wouldn't give them a gravestone.
Well, somebody suggested that he read the gravestone and contact the family and tell them about
that.
It.
Yeah.
That's what I would do, too. But as far as the door with the shelf, he said that if his dogs won't go near it, he doesn't want to go near it either. So he's a little superstitious about everything,
yeah.
and I can kind of understand, but you know, I think with some simple research and...
Would you open the door?
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah.
I would want to know what's below me.
You know what I would do if I were a little worried? I would find out the history of the house first and...
Who owned it? What happened? If anything?
Yeah, and I would... And, okay, people are going to think I'm nuts, but
no.
I would get some... as if they
okay,
don't...
Okay, a few people.
Okay, as if they don't
Linda
already...
Linda will think you're nuts.
She already does. But look who's talking. But,
You are.
Yeah, that's true. I am.
She's talking to herself.
Folks, when you guys hear Linda, you'll understand what I'm talking
okay.
about. But, what I would do is I would get some experienced practitioners
mm-hmm.
to come and
Bless
the house and do a protective cleanse it and do a protective circle.
But I'd want to know what's in that behind that door first.
Oh no, no!
And then I'd bring those people in.
No, I would do the research first, and then I would get them to do it, and then I would.
Who knows? Maybe that family wants to relocate their relative, or could at least give them information as to why she was buried in this basement in the first place.
There's a good reason.
I would leave the grave there. I wouldn't disturb it unless the family wanted.
I would leave it there until I find out what's going on.
If the family knew about it and wanted her back and reburied her somewhere else, go for it.
Now, you remember what happened here in San Francisco with that house when they found the grave of the little girl.
The little girl, yep.
They did research about her family, and they moved her grave, but...
Didn't move her grave.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. That was the Oddfellows Cemetery.
No, they moved it after they found it. No, they didn't move it. It was the Oddfellows Cemetery.
That was the problem. They left her behind.
They left her behind in someone's garage. Right.
Now she's
reburied in Colma, yeah. And I was there for the ceremony when they reburied her.
That's quite an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. We talked about it, yeah. So, but anyway...
It's in New Orleans. Who knows what could have happened?
There's weird stuff that goes on over there.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, too. Don't think I'm being prejudiced.
Of course.
About New Orleans. There's weird stuff that goes on in San Francisco, too. But anyway... That's what I would do, but it is an interesting story.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. All right. So that's the paranormal news, folks.
Yep. Okay, this one is about Marion Lambert, who is known as the Ghost of Sheridan Road. And she was a teenage girl who apparently was poisoned by her older boyfriend, who was famously acquitted of her murder. And this happened in Lake Forest, Illinois, and her body was found in the woods off Sheridan Road near Lake Forest College. And apparently she was fatally poisoned, and there's a lot of roadside apparitions that people have spotted of her. She was only 18 years old, and her death was considered a homicide. Some people consider it a suicide, or an accident, but it's never been determined. But she was a senior at Deerfield, which was Deerfield Shields Township High School in Highland Park. And apparently she died of cyanide poisoning, according to the reports. And her boyfriend, his name was Will Orpitt. What a name, Will Orpitt. He was charged with her murder, but he was acquitted in a trial. And the court proceedings were covered by the newspapers in California and New York. They were covered all over, as far as California and New York.
Yeah.
All over. And they began dating when she was in high school. He was the son of the caretaker of the Cyrus McCormick Estate. And he was headed off to college at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And they exchanged letters that would have been, you know, that were little love letters. And in the fall of 1915, they had a physical encounter in the woods near the Sacred Heart Convent. And, you know, according to that encounter, there was some problems with it. She claimed to have been pregnant. And according to their correspondence, he was convinced that he did not impregnate her, and he attempted to end the relationship. I mean, you know, come on.
Convinced himself?
He convinced himself. You know, come on now. It's high school girls back then did not have a lot of sex. Who else was she going to have it with? Come on. Anyway.
Some probably did.
Well, some probably did, but most... 18-year-old high school girls did not run around having a lot.
Good girls? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But in 1915, come on. Oh, well, anyway. But the Los Angeles Herald said that Lambert knew that she was not pregnant, but tried to convince him that. You know, keep a man. And he was said to be at least involved with at least one other girl in Madison, and that she was... And that she was saying she was pregnant in order to stay with him, which, the old story, you know. But anyway, trap a man. So it was, so he got tired of her, and they don't know how it happened or how she got the nerve to do this or say that to him. But apparently it led up to a February 8th, 19... His efforts to break up led up to a February 8th, 1960 meeting in the Helms Woods, which at that time was part of the estate of Edith Rockefeller McCormick, daughter of John D. Rockefeller, and now a backyard in the Villa Tourism subdivision. So according to the New York Times, on the account of the trial, he tried to keep the meeting a secret from his parents, spending the night in a garage on the McCormick estate before arranging to meet her on the way to school. And here he is in the picture, sitting with his arms crossed in a courtroom. He looks very sour there.
Yeah.
He's with his mother. And though he didn't believe that she was actually pregnant, he offered her a medicine that he said would induce a miscarriage. And it's not clear whether it was more of a molasses-based herbal medicine that was homemade. And she declined it, according to his testimony. And she called out again as he started to leave, asking if he would continue to send her letters. And he just walked away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sounds a little unhinged.
Right. And he said, "Something made me look around, I don't know what, and I saw Marion lying in the snow. I returned, knelt over her for maybe a minute, and I noticed that the moist powder in the lines of her hands. Her eyes were glazed, then a kind of a fog came into my brain, and I don't remember much except that on reaching the road, I threw away the medicine and made my way on foot to Highland Park, caught a train, and that evening arrived back in Madison." What a creep. He didn't even get help for her.
I was going to say, so you just looked at her, left her, and took off.
Yeah.
Hopped a train.
Jackass. Sorry. What an asshole.
Sounds like they're both jackasses, to be honest. But continue.
Well.
Continue.
Yeah, that was a desperate act. Well, anyway, he headed back to Madison, but he was tracked down by reporters and police. He told a series of conflicting stories about what happened and relied heavily on the response, "I don't remember," during 3 days of cross-examination. Don't remember my ass.
Yeah, it's funny how people forget suddenly when they're in a courtroom in front of people and a judge.
Yeah. So the prosecution's theory held that he killed her because of her perceived pregnancy after producing a cyanide solution at the estate. And the defense argued that she took the cyanide herself, either to kill herself or as an accident intending to win his affection. How can you take it as an accident? Cyanide kills you. Everybody knows that.
Well, you can't take it as an accident. You either eat it yourself or someone forces it down your throat.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You don't take it by accident. I mean, they don't have cyanide pills sitting around for no reason.
Wonder where she would have gotten it.
Druggist?
Remember,
kids could go buy this stuff back then.
That's true.
Because their parents would send them.
Yeah.
"Oh, my mom wants some cyanide pills." "Oh, what for? To kill herself?" "Oh, I don't think so. Thanks."
Well, they said that the state was not able to get a witness to come from Wisconsin and testify.
Why did they do it the trial that far away is what I wonder.
I don't... Well,
maybe it's before they actually said...
Well, no. The state was unable to get anybody to come from Wisconsin.
So nobody was willing to be a witness.
Right.
Okay.
So they did. So one of the prosecution's key witnesses, a friend of hers, changed her story and testified that Lambert had been depressed and discussed committing suicide if Orpitt broke up with her, and that could be true if out of desperation, adolescent, 18-year-old.
Yeah, but the whole pregnant trapping thing.
There's something weird about that.
You have serious psychological issues if you're.
And here's a picture of the courtroom.
But if she was pulling that crap on him, that's psychological entrapment anyway. She's a bad cookie.
But it was the physical evidence of the cyanide that really decided the whole thing at the trial. So following 5 years of deliberations, the jury found that Orpitt did not administer the poison. They didn't have enough evidence.
5 years of deliberations?
No, 5 years. 5 hours.
That's like a career choice. 5 hours sounds a little better.
I'm sorry, 5 hours.
Good God, Verna. 5 hours versus 5 years?
I said it wrong.
Can you imagine being stuck in a jury for 5 years?
Oh, for Pete's sake, I just got over being sick.
Oh, I hope you don't have any plans for the next half decade. You're in the jury now.
Go on. I said it wrong. So, okay. Following 5 hours of deliberations, the jury found that he didn't... They found him innocent.
Yeah.
They found he didn't administer it.
Well...
And they didn't have any proof, really.
Well, that's just it, is I guess, again, this is what, 1915, you said?
Yeah, right.
Think about forensics. You wouldn't know how long the cyanide was in her stomach, maybe. Mm-hmm. You couldn't tell. Is it on her fingers? This is stuff they would never have known to look for back then.
Right.
But nowadays, like, is there traces of the cyanide pill on her fingers? Mm-hmm. Did she have some more? Where did it come from? In her pocket? Is there more? Is there residue? Things they could figure out that she took it herself. Because unless she had evidence of it in her pocket, on her fingers, and put it down her own throat, does it look like someone else forced it down her throat? Was there, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, here's another piece of evidence. They said that the form of cyanide that killed her was potassium cyanide. And it was the type that was kept at Deerfield High School science lab, where she had been the day before. So she could probably, maybe she stole some from the science lab. And they said she could have taken it in violation of school rules. And it wasn't the type that he would have had access to. So it was the kind that you found in science labs. And
all right, my theory?
Yeah.
This psychologically troubled girl found a boyfriend, was obsessed with him. He wasn't so obsessed. She told him she was pregnant to try and trap him to stay with her. He wanted nothing more to do with her.
Uh-huh.
So she got upset, frustrated, pissed off. Didn't know what else to do and thought, fine, I'll show you, and took and grabbed the cyanide from the lab, went and took it.
Okay, but here's the thing, though.
But why would he find her? How would he know to find her?
Well, here's the thing about the cyanide. They said that the type of cyanide that she had access to, she would have had to drink 2 quarts or eaten 2 pounds of it in order for it to kill her.
So what killed her then?
They don't know yet. They don't know. She had cyanide.
Still waiting for the results.
We're still trying to find the results. So they don't know. So
we'll never find out now. It's 100.
I know. Well, they said that
years later.
I know. So they don't really know. They said that if she had the cyanide, it wasn't enough to kill her because it was like a very watered down form.
Was she strangled?
So they found the powder, but they don't know what really killed her because they said the cyanide, the kind that she had, wouldn't have been enough. Or here's another theory that I have.
Maybe they would have found abrasions or something if he hit her or banged her head or.
Well, here's the thing: is that the cyanide could have put her in a coma, or it could have made her really sick, and she took some and she laid there and she was probably expecting him to do something and help her, but he didn't. He left her there.
Probably thought she was dead.
So maybe without any medical help, she would have died eventually. But
we'll never know.
Yeah.
So
it's just a theory.
What's the paranormal in this?
The paranormal is that they found apparitions of her haunting the place. Motorists on Sheridan Road reported sightings of a young girl with a damaged mouth walking around. And
damaged mouth? What would be your damaged mouth?
I don't know. They said a damaged mouth. Maybe her mouth was bleeding or it looked like it was bleeding. I don't know. But there was one ghost hunter who did some hunting around the area. They found no evidence of anything supernatural, according to this ghost hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But also, according to the newspaper archives, Sheridan Road, which is south of Lake Forest, acquired a reputation for being haunted anyway before this happened with those two.
It's so busy road. Lots of apparitions running up and down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do they flag people down and go, oh my God, give me a ride. You made me pregnant.
Right. And of course, there's the estate nearby. And of course, the estate with, you know, the families, there could be, it doesn't necessarily mean it's her, but people said that they saw a young girl. And it could be her sometimes, because if that really happened, and I don't know. So
who do you got to blame?
Yeah, who do you got to blame?
In the end,
mm-hmm.
trying to entrap a boy to mm-hmm. say you're pregnant.
Yeah. So they said that there's that the families nearby, you know, that there were some families that lived nearby, but they don't recall seeing family members, you know, as a ghost or.
Interesting.
So, but the area was known to be haunted before that happened with those two. But people claim that they've seen a young girl.
Yeah.
So that's the paranormal side of it. So, anyway, it's, you know.
Ooh, a lot of mystery in that one.
a lot of mystery in that one, yeah. And interesting that you can still look up the trial and you could still look up what happened. So it's, yeah, it's a detective story and a ghost story all in one. Mm-hmm. And here's a picture of her, very, very cute young girl. She's very pretty, isn't she?
She don't look that young in there.
She's about 18.
She well, looks you, like she's 35.
You know, girl, I think she looks younger in the second picture.
Yeah, that first one, not so much.
And here's him. I don't think he was anything to kill yourself
with. Well, I don't think either one of them sound like they were shining examples of their community.
Well, I mean, look at him. I don't think he was anything to kill yourself over. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but she's an entrapper and he was an ass, so, you know.
You know, I look at his picture. He looks like kind of a striking college guy.
I just don't understand but why he doesn't look, leave her hop
he doesn't
a train.
Even, I don't even think he looks nice.
But why would you leave her and hop a train?
This is in his high school yearbook.
But why would you hop a train somewhere else and then mention that she's there?
Yeah, I don't think he's that striking. Yeah, he's considered handsome for a young man, but I don't think he's that striking. But he doesn't even look nice.
See, something else happened. Because if you hop a train and leave someone, and you wait till you're far away before you tell someone that she's there,
yeah,
that means you're either running from something you did...
And you know,
I think they just couldn't figure it out. I think they just didn't figure it out.
Yeah. And a lot of girls looked older back then because the way they fixed their hair and everything. I think she looks younger in the profile.
On like the 36-year-old picture next to it?
Yeah. In the profile picture, she looks younger.
Some people do that where they have turned to the side and they look a lot younger.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what happened with those two. It's a very sad story.
Yeah.
And I think that She was desperate. I think he was a creep about the whole thing, no matter what happened.
Yep.
And that's it.
All right. That's this week's episode, folks. And until next week, we'll see you once again.
See you next week. Bye.
Royalty-free, copyright-free music by Kevin MacLeod and Ross Bugden.
Be sure to visit us at www.ectoportal.com. Check out our archives on YouTube and head on over for new episodes to ectoportal.podbean.com.